The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News. Talk sports. I'm going to jump into a bunch of things right in this hour, in this half hour. I've got so much to get to today. I literally just loaded to the gills here. We are going to talk in a moment. We're going to talk more about what's going on in Washington in the Obamacare and defund debate. We have an opportunity. I know some of you don't like the fact that I put a liberal on once a week for 20 minutes. Talk show host Mike McFeely from KFGO Fargo. We're going to get into, I don't want to say I want to spring a trap on Mike, but we're going to get into the whole notion. I'm going to start this in just a moment. I'm going to pick it up with Mike. The biggest mistake Republicans have made has making this about Republicans. We'll get to that in just a bit. Couple of other things first, and I have to do this before it gets lost in the show, and I hope she is listening. I had a really cool experience last night. A friend came over to our house, and she starts telling me the story of something that happened in her workplace. She hears this woman talking, and she hears, my friend hears my last name. And she hears, Bader's right on about that. He's right on. And so she engages this woman, and the woman talking about me, her name is Anita. And my friend starts talking to Anita, and says, well, are you talking about Jerry Bader? I love him, and his show's great. And well, my friend says, I know Jerry, and so on. And this woman did two things that are really, really great, and that's why I want to say thank you, Anita. One, she's a big radio fan, big talk radio fan, going back years and years. Back in the 80s, she was a listener to what is now one of our hall stations down the hallway here, 1440 WNFL. Back then, this company did not own that station, and that station had a fairly popular morning show, Devlin and Mulhern. Pete Devlin, Sean Mulhern. And she won one of their mugs. Has never done anything with it. Kept it in pristine shape. And she wanted me to have it. So she gave it to my friend. And my friend brought it over last night. You can tell it's never been used. I'm not going to use it. It'll be with the radio paraphernalia that I have in my office. But it's really neat. It's got their mugs on the mug and the imprinted signatures and that. It was a fairly popular show. I remember my brother and his wife listened to that show. It was a pretty big show, but it's a neat little part of local radio paraphernalia. So I thank her for that. The other thing that I cannot thank her enough for, she has paid me the ultimate compliment. Anita told my friend, I don't always agree with him, but I love the show. There is no higher praise. That to me, when they can appreciate the show, enjoy the show, without agreeing with every word I say. If I can accomplish that, that is about the best that I can do. And I know there are some people, and they say it to me. Well, I love your show. You say all the right things. But for someone who doesn't always think I say the right things, but still love the show, that's the ultimate. So, Anita, thank you for both. Both are greatly appreciated. About 30 seconds on the second news conference held yesterday concerning the Leo Frigo Memorial Bridge. They have no idea when it's going to open. I'm sticking with my prediction that it probably will... It might not be before the end of construction season 2014. They still don't know that it's stable. They are checking that pier that sunk on a very regular basis with laser measurement. It has not moved further. That's good news. However, that's all they know, so they are not declaring the bridge stable. It appears to be stable in that it has not moved since Wednesday morning, about 5 in the morning. And when it did move, it apparently happened within a span of a couple of hours. So what happened was sudden and still unexplained. That's all we know. Long way off before we figure out what happened, how do you fix it, how much is it going to cost, who's going to pay for it, and how long is it going to take. It could be weeks, months before we know all of that stuff. In the meantime, I agree with what the DOT said this morning with Mike and Matt. I think Green Bay area motorists have adapted very, very well. So far, what I've noticed, I have not noticed a lot of problems. All right, now I want to jump into, and again, we'll revisit this after 10 o'clock. I want to jump into the defunding Obamacare debate again. Yesterday, I shared a piece, and I put it this way. I said Dan Henninger agreed with me, not that I agreed with Dan Henninger, because I've been saying it longer than Henninger. And that is, I think the strategy is to let Obamacare collapse. Let the disaster happen. I know that's bad for America, but I don't think we can stop it anyway. Kimberly Strassel addresses another element of this today. The mistake Republicans have made in this debate. Her Potomac Watch piece today is called Defunders Give Democrats a Pass. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell this week attempted something novel. He talked about, wait for it, Democrats. You know Democrats. Remember them? The folks who forced through Obamacare on a party line vote. The party that bears sole responsibility for a law hitting families with layoffs, reduced work hours, soaring insurance premiums, and lost health coverage. The crew that is now actively restoring funding to that immensely unpopular law, a vote that ought to prove perilous to red state senators up for re-election. As McConnell said Tuesday on the Senate floor, Majority Leader Harry Reid can only afford to lose 4 Democrats if he wants to restore funding for Obamacare. So if 5 Senate Democrats vote against the majority leader, Obamacare will be defunded. The spotlight should be on them. Then she goes on, if only it were. The tragic reality is this vote isn't shaping up to be at all the perils for the owners of the law. Nobody's even talking about Democrats. Nobody has put an iota of pressure on them for months. Every camera, every microphone has been trained on the GOP. This has been the defunders' biggest mistake because it didn't have to be this way. Bear in mind that the idea to defund Obamacare is not new. It featured in last year's election and it remained a strategic option throughout this spring and early summer as the GOP debated how best to pressure vulnerable Democrats and get an Obamacare win. That debate was derailed when a rump group in the GOP unilaterally decided to impose defund as their broader Republican position. Having moved on their own, their only hope of enforcing support was to deliberately make this fight about Republicans instead of Democrats. So what began last year as one possible strategy for undercutting the health care law devolved this summer into a minority-imposed and bogus litmus test of conservative purity. I want to read that again. Devolved this summer into a minority-imposed and bogus litmus test of conservative purity. This effort has not, for some time now, been about victory. It has become, as Red State's Eric Erickson put it with his usual eloquence, about shining a light on the cockroaches in the GOP. Texas Senator Ted Cruz has spent months berating his own side as appeasers who care only about being invited to all the right cocktail parties in town. And that criticism of Cruz is not harsh. Now, I think some of the criticism of Cruz this week has been harsh. But remember, he's the one that started with the Surrender Caucus talk. Ted Cruz picked this fight, and she's right about that. Outside conservative groups, Heritage Action, the Senate Conservatives Fund, have raised real cash on this venture, and they spent most of it attacking House and Senate Republicans. A bare trickle of dollars, if that much is at all, has gone to directing public Obamacare anger toward Democratic senators, such as Arkansas's Mark Pryor, Louisiana's Mary Landrieu, Alaska's Mark Begich, or North Carolina's Kay Hagan. The result is that while the defunders will get their vote in the Senate, they laid no groundwork, no sustained or coordinated advertising or web campaign, no public uprising in key states to pressure Democrats to vote with them. This is an error of embarrassing proportions. Five Democrats isn't a lot, especially in the context of an unpopular law. On Thursday, West Virginia's Joe Manchin, who isn't even up for re-election, became the first Senate Democrat to support delaying the individual mandate for a year. While it isn't defund, it is a big crack in Democratic unity. Now, imagine if over the past months, the conservative dollars have been spent flooding the airwaves with ads demanding that Ms. Hagan justify an Obamacare exemption for big business, but not for average families. Or an ad pinning soaring premium prices on Mark Pryor. Or if Heritage Action, instead of holding its defund Obamacare rallies in Tennessee and Alabama to target Republicans already opposed to Obamacare, had focused its events in Louisiana, inspiring voters to swamp Ms. Landrieu's office with calls, or in Colorado, Senator Mark Udall, or New Mexico, Senator Tom Udall. The defund coalition will claim we wouldn't be having a vote if they hadn't dragged their colleagues along in the first place. We'll never know. The defund ringleaders this summer couldn't be bothered with the hard work of calling internal meetings with their colleagues, soliciting input, selling the idea, formulating a strategy, getting people on board. They instead served notice that this was the plan. They served notice. This is the plan. And took to the airwaves to berate those who didn't hop to. The Republican majority that balked didn't do so because it lacked conviction. They balked because this was sprung on them. And they fear that the plan had no forethought. Is this our best leverage? No strategy. Which Democrats do we target? And no endgame. What's our fallback? The lack of all of that is the real reason Harry Reid will win this vote. Mr. Cruz on Fox News Sunday this week allowed that maybe toward the end of this week, if the GOP shaped up and if he got around to it, the next step is starting to get red state Democrats. Bit late for that. The defund coaches, having spent the game directing their players to tackle each other, have looked up in the final seconds to realize that an opposing team is on the field, one that has been scoring all along. Kim Strassel, today's Wall Street Journal. I agree with a lot of that. As she points out, Eric Erickson, this is about shining a light on the cockroaches in the GOP. And yes, this has been a fundraising effort for the conservative groups that she mentioned. Now, she paints it that Ted Cruz is their pawn. I'm not going to say that. I think Ted Cruz is sincere in his belief system. But he is rewriting history now to suggest that he didn't go after other Republicans, that he didn't come up with the Surrender Caucus, that he didn't berate them. He did. And all of the while, if you were going to accomplish defund, as she points out, you needed to pick off five Blue Dog Democrats, and they are there for the picking. In fact, do you know what this Republican infighting has done? It has insulated those five. It has kept them off the radar screen. And that's where we are arguing about tactic. This is a failed strategy. Let me give you an example of this. I want to play. There is an ad. Now, the DNC has done a couple of things. They have the, I think the first one is the DOC, the Adorable Care Act is something that they unveiled recently. Trying to make the Affordable Care Act sound lovable, warm and fuzzy. Well, they follow that up with this. Listen to this ad. Mallory, go ahead.
American people, this is the GOP. We have your economy. If you ever want your economy back, do exactly as we say. We have over 25 very specific demands and are adding more as we speak. To start, end Obamacare. And while we're at it, let's gut Wall Street reform too. We demand you halt energy regulations, slash taxes for the rich while raising them on the middle class, and start construction of the Keystone Pipeline, like tomorrow. You know what? Why don't you just reverse the results of the 2012 presidential election? If our demands are not met, we'll simply stop paying our nation's bills, destroying our credibility and destabilizing the world's economy. Clock's ticking. We hope you don't make us do this.
Now, let me tell you right now, they have a media that's going to go along with that. Whatever your position on strategy, Strassel is right that Republicans focusing on Republicans was a dumb strategy. And for all of you who say, well, how come they're picking on Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz and his supporters started this. That's the reality. Then there is this one. I didn't talk about this on the air, but I blogged on it. There is a video out there. I don't believe it's on TV. There's a video out there. It's really good. It's from a group opposing Obamacare. Remember we told you all about the intrusive questions that doctors would have to ask under Obamacare that have nothing to do with the treatment they're providing you. Very personal, intrusive, invasive questions. There's an ad that shows a woman getting an examination in stirrups and this huge Uncle Sam is suddenly between her legs. It's creepy, but it's effective. Speaking of creepy, Mark Pocan, all right, that was a cheap shot. Mark Pocan, congressman from Wisconsin, he's not creepy as far as I know. It just seemed to fit. But he is an unhinged far-left liberal. He took that to the floor of the House on Thursday. Remember how I said they can't ever criticize anything without mentioning the Koch brothers? He has gone off the deep end on this. Listen to this.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The American people have been bombarded on their TV screens by this creepy image of Uncle Sam appearing between a young woman's legs. This ad is funded by the idealistic sounding Generation Opportunity. But guess who's really behind this ad? The not-so-idealistic Koch brothers who are spending a share of their wealth to tell people not to get health insurance. Their sole purpose is to keep young people from getting quality, affordable care, and in doing so, they hope to destroy the Affordable Care Act. But what would Koch care look like? Insurance companies could deny you coverage because of a pre-existing condition. You could be thrown into bankruptcy because of lifetime caps. Insurance companies would be able to charge women more than men, and tens of millions of Americans would be without health insurance. Oh, and Uncle Sam would be standing between a woman and her doctor when it comes to reproductive health, just like you see the GOP trying to do across the country. That's what the GOP and the Koch brothers want. Fewer options, less health care, and higher costs. That certainly doesn't seem like an opportunity for a generation to me.
Now, you will note, what Pocan didn't bring up was what the ad, and actually, I don't think it's on TV, as he said. I think it's online, but I could be wrong about that. In any event, you will note Pocan never brought up what the ad is about. The ad is about the intrusive nature of Obamacare, the incredibly personal questions doctors are being mandated to ask that have nothing to do with the treatment you're getting at the time, but everything to do about your personal life, your habits, all of which the government will keep in digital form, as if you shouldn't be worried about that. No, instead, in a one-minute speech, he uses Koch care and the straw man argument against the Koch brothers, because that's all they have. Remember Giggles the Fawn? If you don't, you're going to want to hear the story at 9:06. If you do, you're not going to believe the follow-up at 9:06. It's 8:57.